This is KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. In uptown Port Townsend, amid the quiet of a pandemic, if you travel down to the corner of Tyler and Lawrence, you'll find a kind hustle, focused conversation, the cheerful noise of hammers and drills, and the hum of newly wired coolers. It's all part of a transformed Aldridge's Market, about to open its doors in mid-October to the curiosity and smiles of neighbors far and wide. In this, our second installment, focusing on the rebirth of a Port Townsend institution, we meet three of the special characters that will bring their unique colors to the feathers of this phoenix called Aldridge's. And now, let's go inside the compass. In uptown Port Townsend, in the town that time forgot, Aldridge's Market rests now at the corner of Lawrence and Tyler Streets. For nearly 125 years, the store has changed hands only five times through five families unrelated by birth. That is, up until now. The market has survived economies of the times and two world wars. It's the oldest grocery store in Washington State still operating under the same trade name. It was opened in 1896 by Clark Aldridge, moved its location several times, and has risen like a phoenix from the ashes of two fires. The market, perhaps, has taken on a brigadoon-like persona, and it has been a physical as well as a symbolic cultural center for the uptown neighborhood. A community gathering place. Enter siblings Yoss, Rachel, and Krista Lichtenberg. Yes, another family, with a connection to and an understanding of the Port Townsend community. They've appeared serendipitously, right at a time when Aldridge's, like a family cat, was about to lose another one of its lives. Well, speaking with Rachel Lichtenberg, Tomoko Tolson, Grace Love, and Jesse Nelson, part of the dream team at Aldridge's, this phoenix called Aldridge's. It's very exciting. We wanted to try to get an update because you're getting close, aren't you, Rachel?
We are, Chris. We are getting very close. Taking a break from the activity this moment. Yoss is meeting with a ton of vendors, literally in the space right now. Krista's handling a few other things, and goods are arriving, and we are so excited to share with the community three of our experienced leaders, if you will, today. But it is getting closer and closer and closer, and we're honing in on this notion of being open by mid-October, and we cannot wait to embrace the community and get this little joy factory going.
Well, there are 30 of you in the tribe. How many of them from previous incarnations of Aldridge's?
It's about half. So about half the team has spent time working, again, in this space, again, some iteration of Aldridge's. One of our returning employees had worked with Yoss 22 years ago.
You know, I've taken, two or three little socially distanced walking tours of Aldridge's as it has been undergoing its evolution. I'm really curious to know. I know about the coffee experience. I know about Grace and your wonderful food. And I know about Tomoko and your sushi. But I want to know more. I want to know, what are you envisioning in the whole layout of Aldridge's? And what's happening? What's different? What's new? What do you see? What do each of you envision in your own little worlds that you're presenting there at Aldridge's?
I'm extremely thrilled just to be a part of the whole team and to see it come together. It's given me all sorts of new confidence in the path of coffee and working out here in Port Townsend. It's a tremendous team. I've been working in coffee for quite a while, and the most important and best part of it is how many hands touch coffee along the way, from it being picked all the way to the cup and how it's made. And then the routine that kind of comes from that. And so there's so much energy that comes from that good cup of coffee that really helps build the neighborhood and kind of create that contact point you know, coffee is a weird thing because it's a simple product we drink every day, but it's also a catalyst to kind of create those interactions with customers on a regular basis. And so having that sort of experience inside of a store like Aldrich's, I think is really just going to bring the community together around food and around all the good energy and other businesses and ideas that are coming out of that market.
That catalyst, that contextual concept of brewing encompasses just more than what you end up with in your cup.
Right. And you really just want that cup that makes you happy. That's ultimately what sells the most coffee, is the customer that's satisfied, you know, and the interaction they have with friendly baristas, you know, that all is part of the community. And then there's the whole other food agriculture side of coffee that's really fun to share and sort of enlighten people. And most of my experience is in Seattle. And so bringing my coffee out to a smaller town to expand that knowledge and expand that learning experience of pretty incredible food that we drink every day.
Jesse, are you new to Port Townsend?
I've been out here for almost 3 years. Yeah, I've had some family connections out here for a couple decades, but I've been in the Northwest for 20 years.
When you speak of coffee and coffee being part of your life, what has been your past iterations?
You know, it started off as a really great hobby in graduate school to kind of get me through. I started roasting coffee and getting into the interaction of actual production of coffee. And so I started a roasting business, a small little wholesale coffee roasting business in Seattle 9 years ago next month. So I'm bringing out some really delicious custom roasted blends for Aldrich's, some branded blends that are going to be really tasty, and sort of creating a roast profile that will fit with the Port Townsend and Uptown community.
Will you be roasting on the premises?
No, for the near future, I'll be roasting in Seattle, bringing the coffee out. But we hope to expand that operation into the Port Townsend, into the area, and hopefully turn it into an education process as well, not just wholesale coffee.
I remember living in London, just off of Pentonville Road in West Hampstead, and just down the street, it was kind of a sloping street. And in the morning, there was a coffee roaster right at the top of the road. And that whole aroma would just waft down the street. And I was just thinking about eventually how that wonderful aroma would just sort of be wafting through Uptown.
That'd be really fun. I do see, I don't know if Rachel knows this yet, but I do see doing some roasting classes there, some small home roasting style classes just in the store to show the process, all the science.
Start with a handful of beans.
Yep. I started off at a quarter pound at a time, cranking it out for Christmas, you know.
When you talk about history, how are you going to present the history? How do you envision that?
There's going to be a lot of opportunities to show off what the raw coffee product looks like and you know, demonstrate the roasting process. There'll be a few different blends and different types of coffee there. So there's a lot to talk about with the geography and where it comes from and the seasonality with coffee, and sort of explain that. It's going to be really important not to inundate that part of it with the general experience, but to have that available and to have a knowledgeable staff that can answer the questions about the coffees and why they taste the way they taste and you know, why they're in that cup of coffee.
So where are you located in the store? I mean, if somebody were to walk in the front door of the store, how would they encounter you?
Well, watch where they're going. We're right at the very front of the store. the coffee experience has moved from the back corner to the very front, right by the roll-up door. So it'll have prominent space. It'll help with the POS system with checking out customers, but also have a window access to the outside.
There will be. So somebody can actually walk down the sidewalk and grab their cuppa.
Eventually, yeah.
Anything you want to add about your whole endeavor here?
Like I said, I'm so thrilled to be a part of the community. I'm so excited to see where this goes in the next few months as literally the sawdust settles and we start seeing how the aisles start shaping up and wait for the customers come in and really just provide to the whole community. I'm so thrilled to be a part of this team.
And Grace, your delicious food. How new is this endeavor for you?
Nadine's Kitchen is 6 years old. Actually, in October, on the 14th, I believe, it will be exactly 6 years, which I didn't even realize for a while. I've just been doing it.
Has it been catering or retail? What has it been? Combination?
So Nadine's actually, because I do music as well, as a lot of people know. Nadine started as a dinner and a show. So I would prepare a 3-course meal and I would do a 45 minute set of music, a lot of work. And then it just kind of grew. I mean, I think I went from 25 paid people, and one of the bigger events I did was about 210 people. And that was all in Seattle. I did several events at the Pike Place Market because they have this beautiful commercial kitchen in the middle. And then after that, I was like, okay, I think I might have something. And I kept with the dinner and a show model for a while. And then I moved to good old Port Townsend and kept that model, but also expanded to the markets. And from there, it's just kind of taken on its own shape and form.
And Nadine, where does Nadine come from?
That was my mama's name. Nadine Sally Harris. She didn't have a middle name, but they called her Sally for some other reason. But yeah, it was my mama. She's just a joy. I mean, my mama wasn't actually the cook in the house. It was my daddy. But just, she was the first person I lost in my life that was, you know, the matriarch to me. And I lost her in 2007. And so, I don't know. I just, when I think of Nadine and I think of my mom, I think of comfort. I just went with that name.
Speaking of comfort, what kinds of things are you specializing in at Nadine's Kitchen?
Oh, man, there's a lot. We're going to make some really cool Aldridge's special things and kind of update what that looks like. I mean, there'll be some old school favorites because we do have a veteran that has been in the kitchen for the last 3 years, 4 years. So we'll have some, you know, old school stuff. But one of the one things I'm really excited and proud about is my stuffed cornbread. It is stuffed with zucchini and onions and chorizo. And it is so, 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 so good. So my stuffed cornbread, it's going to be just delicious. It's going to be a meal on its own. I do a soul chili and it's vegan actually. And that happened by accident, which is really cool. But it has black eyed peas and black beans in it. And then, of course, you know, down the line, I'll do some really deep soul food Fridays or Sundays. Nice. And, you know, just have special stuff throughout the year. It won't be the soul food that everybody thinks of when they think of soul food. We're just going to have some really good food. Like bacon meatloaf is going to be one of our staples, you know, and jerk foo. It is spicy tofu. I deep fry it and then I bake it.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite things. And it's popular with the vegans and the vegetarians. So, yeah.
Well, this is great stuff. And you're going to have like a grab and go and that kind of thing there out of the deli?
Yes. And that's the best part about it is like Rachel Yoss and Krista, like they did us a service by taking away the kind of interaction of the customer so that we could focus on making really, really good food. The one thing about being in service is having to do all parts of service is really hard to focus on. And then you get distracted or something gets burnt. So your interaction with us, the only, will be going to the hot case and picking up your food or going to the cold case and picking up your Aldridge's house salad. And you know, not only tasting the love that we're putting into it, but also like getting a sense of just like, oh, wow, this person does really care about me. They put their love in this food. So that's my goal.
So Grace, a dinner and a show. Yeah. That's a lot of hard work. You know, and I know you're successful at it, but what an effort. You know, it's hard enough. It's hard enough to put together a set and put all the energy into a set, let alone cooking a dinner for a bunch of people.
Yeah. Well, it usually ends up being some amazing people. And the point of it is, for me, is community. I want people to sit across the table from somebody they've never met and have a conversation that they never thought they would ever be able to have. And that's, like, always been my goal. And I just want people to break bread with one another before they say anything about anything or put any other things on the table. Let's eat and like calm our spirits and our stomachs and have a good time just interacting over how good the food is, you know? And then maybe you find stuff in common that you never would have known if you never had had that meal with them.
Speaking of community and communal dining, there's nothing like a sushi bar. And Tomoko.
Yes.
What is the name of your sushi bar?
Mampuku.
Mampuku.
Yeah, this meaning is a good till the last bite, and then your stomach is full, you feel happy.
And where is the sushi bar going to be located? No, it's changed from being upstairs to downstairs.
Yes,
What's it going to look like?
Yeah, it's kind of a different. I used to be a working restaurant, and then customer service on the plate. But now is to go. It's different, but taste is the same.
Well, will people be able to walk up and sit down or stand up and visit?
Yeah, they are very friendly and then just like a family. Yeah. And then say, hi, Tomoko, and then can you make a blah, blah, you know, customize. It's ordering or without avocado, please, or something. Yeah. So yeah. We are listening. And then as much as possible, more polite, we want to make them happy. So this is my goal.
Tomoko, what's your specialty?
My specialty is, I want to use local food and vegetable or fish. And then as much as I can use a fresh one, and then more creative, not only Japanese style, it's maybe sometimes spicy or sometimes ethnic style. It's not only Japanese sushi, so more creative. Yeah.
How did you start as a sushi chef?
I was born in Japan, and then my father, just like a same latitude area, my hometown, Aomori. It's a kind of a forest and then ocean. It's but town is 100,000 people, but still local. And then beautiful country, just like here. And then my father was architect, and then he invited for New Year's. Every New Year's is over 30 people invited. And then sushi chef came, he was our friend. And then he was helping for food. And then when I was 5 years old, I was helping for their food. And then Tomoko, do it. And then, okay. And then something, I was watching a sushi chef or my mom's cooking, or anyhow, it's really, I was really interested in food. And then my father said all the time, eat well and then be healthy. So all the time he said, it's more you should eat and then be healthy. And then after he finished his job, and then he brought sometimes souvenir for family, just like, hey guys, this is sushi. So we are kind of spoiled, and then, but even we are full, we are eating sushi. So sushi is a very artist and then kind of a creative. So whatever you can do, anything, for example, not only fish, it's but also meat you can arrange for sushi. So it's a very international food, I think.
It's almost like, I think I would rather call a sushi chef a sushi artist. It's so pleasing to watch an accomplished sushi artist create and then have it served to you and to enjoy it. Not only the taste and the savoring and all the rest of that, but just the visual experience. It's just wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah.
But that's that's very Japanese.
Yeah, I love sushi, and then I love food, and then I love cooking, and then I'm happy for making sushi. So this is natural, I think. And then every day I'm learning, and then I learned from young people too. So I was teaching for young people, and then also I was learning from them. So this is a very nice communication. That's why I'm continuing. My original place was, I don't know, you know, or Sentosa restaurant in the downtown first sushi bar. And then since 1998, so I was teaching for young kids is, I don't know, maybe 70 or 100 or I don't know.
But now at Manpuku, how many are in your team at Manpuku?
Right now, main is three. It's one guy, is his name is Dave, and he was working with me 10 years. And then Natalie is 2 years, I think. And then another new guy is Maddie.
Madden,
and then maybe Oscar, I think.
A little bit of Oscar, yes.
Uh-huh. So they are going to help me. And then it's a nice crew, yes.
Apprenticeship, right here in Port Townsend. Apprenticeship is nothing strange to Port Townsend. So it's so wonderful to see that. In all of these things, I mean, what Grace has been experiencing in her journey with music and food, the whole idea of apprenticeship, and Jesse, for sure, you know, apprenticing to a lot of experienced people and maybe even paying visits to certain areas of the globe where coffee has grown. And then
I would love to see that.
Yeah. And then Manpuku, I'm so excited about that. Tamako.
Yes.
Rachel, is there anything else, any other updates or anything you'd like to say before we sign off here?
Well, I think, Chris, what you're experiencing today is our greatest joy, which is this incredible gift of these beautiful humans, this unique talent that is, we found each other. And, you know, this is what will breathe such amazing life into the Aldrich's experience. And so, you know, Krista, Yas, and I we've always felt like it really comes down to the team that makes everything possible. And what you're getting here is a literal kind of figurative taste of just this, the nourishment and the joy that will be emanating from, you know, many corners of the experience. We're also excited about a very local approach with produce. We are fine-tuning our grocery order as we speak. Yas has curated really a lovely, incredible wine selection. Beer has arrived today, and then the spirits are literally flowing in, and Krista is taking a lead with some other talented team members to put together a really sweet lifestyle, kind of houseware section, and then we're partnering with a few local farmers led by Micaiah Brayton on the floral experience. So all to say, we are just blessed by the gift of these remarkable folks joining the team. And the highlight so far for us was our new hire orientation a couple Saturdays ago, and the chance to actually have everyone together in the same room and really just be moved by the gift of doing this great work together to enrich the community. And, you know, we keep coming back to this notion that success for us is if people do leave with more joy and nourishment than they entered. And with this team, we've never been so confident that we can do that. So we, again, just cannot wait to get those doors open to the public. And it's getting so close.
Grace Love and your wonderful food. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Grace. Wonderful coffee experience yet to be experienced. Aldrich's Coffee and Tomoko with Manpuku. Thank you so much. And you're making me hungry. You're making me feel warm all over. So what can I say?
Thank you. It's more than enough.
Thanks for joining me on Compass today.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm Juchi. It's my brother Stein. He's around here somewhere. Our dad is the one who is responsible for all this fine carpentry work here. He did the coffee bar over there and this table here, I'm told. I mean, it's really incredible that everybody has come together and made this happen. I mean, I remember it from when I was a kid. I would come here daily. I think that's going to be in people's memories for many years to come. You know, Aldrich's as a place of community, a place of gathering.
What do you remember as a kid?
I remember coming here and getting the Walker's shortbread for 99 cents, the mini packages with two cookies in it. That was a great deal for me. Love that stuff.
I'm Krista. I'm one of the co-stewards with Rachel and Yas. Juchi, who are you just speaking with, is my oldest. He's 25. He was 3 years old when we moved to town. We are getting very, very close to opening the doors to the public, and feels a little bit like putting presents under the Christmas tree, a little bit like Christmas Eve. So that sense of anticipation. You're basically looking at things that I like to buy. Cards and candles and soap, some surprises maybe you just wouldn't think would be at Aldrich's. Some things to delight the senses and grab a gift or something for yourself. Ceramics and some skincare, some travel candles, some more local art and textiles. This little department isn't complete yet, but we're getting there. How exciting!
This is turned on for the first time.
And it works! So yeah, the grab and go from the kitchen and the grab and go sushi refrigeration cases turned on for the first time. And it's a beautiful sight.
It is.
I'm Scott Walker. I'm the electrical contractor for the remodel here at Aldrich's. I knew Ned and Fred Aldrich. I shopped here. There was interesting stuff on the second and third floors. Third floor was furniture. Second floor was hardware stuff. Otherwise, it was a grocery store down here. It's always been here. It was here when I got here. It was here generations before I got here. And now it's coming back, which is great. I was actually supposed to be going on vacation this week, but I got the call and thought, it's Aldrich's, I have to do this.
Compass airs Saturday at noon and repeats the following Monday at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream live 24 hours a day. Executive producer for Compass is Steve Evans. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, this is Chris Bricker.